Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So my job takes me all over the world, literally. I have eaten in some of the finest restaurants on this planet. I have eaten raw food in the Outback. I have eaten at Cantor's Deli in Los Angeles, actually in West Hollywood. And the reason why I said that is because Alex Cantor is on the line with us. Alex is about 25 years old. He has grown up in a family business. I think, what, like fourth generation are you, Alex?
Yeah, fourth generation. And thanks, Alan, for having me here today.
I love
to be on the show.
First of all, I love your story. I know it, so I'm going to let you tell it here in a second. But this is what I love about this story is that when you have this entrepreneurial blood, it boils inside of you and you cannot stop it. You know, the thing that I heard from a guy one time, he says to his mom, what's an entrepreneur? His mom says, an entrepreneur is a person, when there's a problem, that person that comes in and fixes that problem, that's an entrepreneur. I said, well, that's usually the handyman that I call. But anyway, no, it's true. It's like in your family business at Cantor's Deli, which is a landmark in Los Angeles. It's on Fairfax. If you guys ever go to Los Angeles, right up from the Miracle Mile, the Peterson Automotive Museum, which it's, you know, Robert E. Peterson started Motor Trend and Hot Rod Magazine. I'm a big car guy. I used to do a radio show in there. It's a beautiful museum. Right up from the La Brea Tar Pits, right over from the Grove, the big mall that's a Grove, and Farmer's Market. Right up from all that on Fairfax is Cantor's Deli. It's 24 hours. I've been in there at 4 o'clock in the morning. The people watching is amazing. At Cantor's Deli.
That's the best time to be there.
That's right. But Alex, I mean, it's like you grew up in this place and your father and your father before that. I mean, it's like, my goodness. But along the way, here is this young budding entrepreneur. And back in 2013, which I guess you would have been, what, like 20 years old, you began experimenting with online ordering. And you started already, the blood started flowing and your brain started pumping out great ideas. And I love this. So that's why you're here, because you have dealt in new technologies in an old school business, and you have created something called OrderMark. Now, give me the 2-minute elevator pitch on OrderMark.
Started OrderMark to solve a problem that was happening in my own restaurant. I'd experienced the pain point of growing our business through online ordering, starting with Grubhub and DoorDash, E24, and all of these online ordering companies started popping up. With each one came new incremental revenue and new customers, but also each one brought a new piece of hardware and an additional training for the staff, which made it very challenging. They actually wanted to turn off online ordering completely because of how much of a headache it was for them to manage. And so I basically wanted to create a very simple way for restaurants to be able to plug into these great online ordering platforms without having to manage 9 tablets, 2 laptops, and a fax machine, which is actually what we had in our restaurant to manage all these incoming online orders. And online ordering now makes up over 30% of Cantor's Deli's total business. And we're finding that restaurants all across America, there's a shift happening where all these restaurants are turning into these online ordering machines, and the restaurant industry is really going through a change right now where it's like the e-commerce phase. It's a very interesting time. And so we're here to help as many restaurants as we can prepare for being successful when it comes to adopting online ordering and new technology into their old school business.
I love it. He says, adapt or die. Alex Cantor, CEO, co-founder, OrderMark. If you're in the restaurant business or know somebody that is, today is a great, this particular show, and because we've got the man who's grown up, he knows nothing but the restaurant business. The cells in his body, the grease under his fingernails came off of the fryers. Right. Don't go anywhere, Alex. We're going to take a break. We are talking to Alex Cantor. This is going to be a fun show. And also, I did a show called Business and Burgers. We did one from Cassell's right up the street. We're going to have to do Business and Burgers at Cantor's Deli. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We will be right back with more from Alex Cantor.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, it is Entrepreneur Weekly. I am getting hungry thinking about Cantor's Deli. I've eaten there many a time over the last decades. Alex Cantor, fourth generation. He is the next generation of restaurant ownership. You might say OrderMark. He's the CEO and co-founder of this company as well. OrderMark.com. They say adapt or die. New technology in an old school business. Alex, let's talk about this. So are restaurants, you know, afraid to adapt the old school restaurants? I mean, Cantor's is like, how many years Cantor's been around?
So Cantor's was actually started by my great-grandfather in 1931, the Great Depression.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
And it's remained in my family for four generations. I'm the fourth generation coming into the new family business. And, you know, my whole family has worked there their whole entire lives. My dad started really jumping in when he was 16, 17 years old and hasn't looked back, and, just like his father had before him. And the restaurant itself is very old school. You walk in, there's a lot of decor from the 1950s. And
It
kind of feels like walking back in time. There's the old cash register that they have in the front is from the 50s, and the bakery oven upstairs is from 1960. And there's all this history you can tell just from walking in. And my job growing up in the restaurant was actually to bring in new technology, which was a major challenge for us. I mean,
right.
My family was very old school. Everything was done by hand. And my job was to bring in, you know, POS system, bring in a new menu, bring in online ordering, all of this new technology that I knew my family really needed to embrace. And now we're ahead of the game and really understanding how much technology can help push the business forward. And we've managed to survive through many phases of what's happened through the years. And I think it's because of my family's ability to understand what's coming and what's going to be the next thing, and always looking forward 5 years into the future.
What's good about this is that you are the next generation. You are, for many right now that are listening to this, you old tacacas that are out there that have a business that know that your grandson or your son is going to have to take over. You know, that's my dad. One of my dad's words, old tacaca, right? But it means the old person. Anyway, you guys need to learn from this young man. But what did you do? Did you sit down your parents and the other family members and say, guys, we really have got to make some changes?
It was a collaborative effort. My dad actually is very forward thinking as well. And he understood that, you know, the times are changing and less people are coming in to eat. And foot traffic really started to decline after 2008 when the recession hit, and we were looking for new ways to connect digitally to new customers. And when I was asking around trying to figure out what other restaurants were doing, everyone seemed to be somewhat lost, and I realized that there was a much bigger opportunity than just helping my family's restaurant, but being able to make a difference for other restaurants all across America as well, and really being that technologically savvy son that comes in and upgrades the business to the next generation of technology.
I tell you what, if it wasn't for my kids and friends that are techie, because I'm not, I'm kind of a I'm an analog guy in a digital world,
but that's okay.
You know, I embrace it. I embrace it, but I need somebody like you or some, you know, my kids that are your age to show me how to do that. I still ask my kids, hey, can you do me a favor to show me how to turn the TV channel? I don't even know. It's too complex. The clicker. What happened to the clicker?
That's what kids are for, right?
That's right. That's right. All right. Let me ask you. So how is OrderMark going? How's things going there?
So OrderMark, it's just been an amazing experience for me to start a company from scratch We actually started OrderMark last year in January of 2017, and we've put together a team of people in the industry. My co-founder had some experience building an online ordering platform, and we really put together a great group of heads to spearhead this project together. And I think that's been my favorite part, is getting to work with a team and build our company as we grow and expand to new regions and territories. And ultimately, we thought we were building a product for the small to medium business market, like the mom and pop restaurants. And then we actually realized that the problem that we were solving here, aggregating and pulling in all these online ordering systems, was even more relevant for some of the bigger national brands and chains, like Sonic and TGIF.
Right.
And now we get the opportunity to work with great names like that.
Awesome.
It's just been a very exciting process for me.
Well, fourth generation restaurateur or restaurant owner, as well as I'm sure he's a guy who is, it's like, it's the only thing you know, really. I mean, so when you grow up in that, you know, it's like you're a goat herder, a professional goat herder. He knows goats. In this case, he knows restaurants. Alex Cantor, Cantor's Deli. It's on Fairfax in West Hollywood. We're going to come back, and he gets to be the professor. I'm not sure what generation he is. I think X. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And we're talking to, I'm not sure what generation, millennial, I don't know, I'm an alta caca, my own self. I'm like a baby boomer. Alex Cantor from Cantor's Delicatessen in Fairfax, West Hollywood, California. I've been there many a time. He is also the co-founder and CEO of OrderMark. And this is a new technology in an old school business. If you're in the restaurant business, maybe you guys should check it out online, ordermark.com. And now, Alex, let's talk about, you know, putting on your bow tie and becoming a weird looking professor. You got to teach us a class in entrepreneurship. What advice would you have for some new young millennial entrepreneur, whatever generation, X gen, whatever young person starting to get into business, old person starting to get into business? And, you know, because it's kind of the same thing. It doesn't matter if you haven't done it before, but you got the urge, you're jonesing to be in business for yourself. What about advice from a young guy to the rest of the world? Where do you start?
I would say the best place to start, you really have to dig deep and ask yourself one question. And is it, you know, you have to really ask yourself, am I obsessed with what I'm about to do? And are you obsessed with solving this particular problem? And I asked myself that question when I was first starting out, and I realized that for the first time in my life, I'd actually realized, like, I found my purpose through a business. And I'm so passionate about helping restaurants embrace this new technology, and I know every restaurant that we work with will be so much better off after working with OrderMark. And that really drives me every morning when I wake up, and you know, there's a huge mountain to climb. And I think it's so important. There's a lot of good ideas out there, and everyone probably has different, you know, business opportunities that they're thinking about, but it's really, really key to just be completely immersed and obsessed in whatever it is you're doing.
I love it. So the word is obsessed. Am I obsessed with whatever it is I'm about to jump into? Because if you are not, you will grow tired quick, and you will have wasted time, life, money, everything, because you're going to like, maybe I don't like this so much. But because when you're obsessed, you can push through all those little doubts. And when people say to you, it's not going to work, Alex, and you're like, that's okay, Grandma. I thank you for that. But I'm obsessed with this. I'm going to make it work. You know that? Do you know, Alex, that the bumblebee, the wings are technically too small for it to fly, but it just beats its wings twice as fast so it can fly? So, I mean, technically, we entrepreneurs should fail, but we won't, because we're going to beat our wings and our arms and our legs twice as fast. Yes, we're going to look like whirling dervish, but who cares? We're going to be a success. All right. Number two, I'm obsessed with what I do. I get it. What's number two?
I would say you know, one of the most important things to get our start going was to actually have a real environment to build our product. And being able to have Canners as a test ground, and really the first 6 months that we started the company, there was a little booth in the restaurant that was our first office. And we really got a chance to build a product in a real environment that's high volume. And it gave us a lot of insight into what actually needed to be built. So I would say a lot of people, it's important to actually go out there and test whatever you're doing in a real environment, and don't just build a product because you think it's a good idea. Go out there and really, really test it out and talk to people and find people who are willing to be your guinea pig and really help you get started and get off the ground.
Awesome. All right. In our last 2 minutes, so far we have be obsessed with whatever you're going to do, test before you go to market in the real world, and tip number three from Alex Cantor.
Tip number three, I would say, really surround yourself with people who will push you to be better. And I think everyone on my team, all my co-founders, are a lot older than I am, and it's really pushed me to dig deeper and learn more about, you know, mistakes that they've made in the past, and allows me to grow as an individual, just surrounding myself with people who are really upping my game. And I think it's very challenging to do anything on your own. So don't be afraid to bring in a partner or a couple partners, because it's going to go a long way in the end.
All right. Surround yourself with great people, because you really are the collective soul of the people you spend the most time with. And most of the time, it's like the five people you spend the most time with. So surround yourself with good people at all times in life anyway, because the ripple effect of that is good, and you shall see it. Hey, man, sage advice from a young guy in business. I love this. This is pure goodness. Ordermark.com is where you want people to go, or you want to have them come have breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Cantor's?
Yeah, come by the restaurant. And also, if you have a restaurant or know anyone who works in a restaurant, have them go to ordermark.com and find us. We can really help you expand your online ordering visibility and bring more volume into your restaurant. And it's definitely an important thing to consider if you're not right now.
Ordermark.com. Cantor's Deli, once again, West Hollywood, Fairfax. I've been there a jillion times. It's a step back in time. Love it. Alex Cantor, great job, man. 25 years old. Hats off to you, brother. Fantastic. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for having me on the show today.
All right. Very good. I love this kind of stuff. I'm going to try and work with Alex to shoot an episode of Business and Burgers for our third season. That is going to be coming around. Check it out, businessandburgers.com. There's some great episodes, like 40 episodes there. Businessandburgers.com. Alex is going to come up with some special Cantor's Deli burger. All right, we're going to be back with more after the break right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. Don't go anywhere.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So our last guest said you need to be obsessed about what you do as an entrepreneur. Our next guest says you need to be customer obsessed. Who is that? His name is Patrick Campbell. He is co-founder and CEO of ProfitWell, formerly Price Intelligently. So Patrick Campbell, ProfitWell.com. Let's just for a moment talk about that so we can bridge between a young man of 25 years old, Alex Cantor, who said the one piece of advice he gave was you need to be obsessed as an entrepreneur about what it is you're going to do. And then here we come, I see on my crib notes from my producer, why you need to be customer obsessed. And I want to just start right there. And then we're going to talk about ProfitWell and what you do. But why do you think it's so important? Why is that one of these top five things in your book?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it really comes down to, if you think about the philosophy of what you're doing with a business, if you think about exactly why you're in business, it's to sell someone something. And it doesn't matter if you're a nonprofit selling at a deli, selling software, B2B, B2C, it doesn't really matter. Everything in your business, it doesn't matter if it's sales, marketing, finance, or operations, is used to drive someone to a point of conversion and then to justify the product and the price that you're offering them. And so if you don't know anything about those customers, if you're not obsessed about who that customer is from demographics, size, wants, needs, willingness to pay, all of those different things, then you're just kind of running around kind of like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to just throw a bunch of stuff up against the wall and seeing what sticks from kind of an efficiency and ultimately from a business perspective.
I love this. You and Alex go together. I mean, you guys need to meet. You need to eat over at his restaurant. Next time you get to LA, go to Cantor's Deli and ask for Alex, because you guys should know each other. But I'm going to give a little more information on you. You had cancer in your mid-20s and you survived it. But along the way, you learned the importance of creating systems and processes to help survive past you. And that regardless of, you know, what's going on, the company must go on, the show must go on, in essence. And so you, in your mid-20s, just like Alex right now in his mid-20s, launching his company, you had to like step in, step up, and really, man, you had to really be thoughtful. And I think this is so important. And let me just ask people to hang on for a second, because I think, you know, we're going to have a good long time with you on the show here. But could you tell us a little bit more about Patrick Campbell? Who is Patrick Campbell?
That's a good question. I feel like I'm on a couch here,
right.
Psychologist office, right? No, so I'm a rural kid from Wisconsin. So I grew up in a town with, you know, more cows than people, and I went to school in Illinois and I studied econometrics and math. I ended up going to work in the intelligence community in D.C. and then I worked at Google. And at both places early on in my career, I ended up doing a lot of what's called econ modeling, which is just a fancy way of saying taking a bunch of data, applying some algorithms to it for some sort of output. So when I was working in the intelligence community, I was trying to find bad guys and girls. And then when I worked at Google, I was trying to find money, essentially. And so it's actually, you know, kind of bring it back a little more personal. So I've actually had cancer twice now.
Wow.
It's been an interesting 10 years, let's just say that. So the first time I had it, I was at Google, and it was, one, it was caught nice and early enough, and it was probably the best company in the world to get sick at. Like, I don't wish getting sick on anybody, but if you're going to get sick, Google's the place to get sick, because I didn't see an invoice or a receipt. Like, everything was paid for, all of my treatments, all of my surgeries, everything like that. And it really kind of shaped, I come from a really blue collar family, some really, really hardworking parents. We went through strikes when I was a kid, all kinds of fun stuff. And to kind of have that other context of a company that just treated, you know, you so well, like, really inspired me when I started Price Intelligently, now ProfiWell, to make sure that, you know, the team was taken care of, but also, as you're kind of alluding to in that intro, basically making sure that, you know, we were building not necessarily a community, but you're building a high functioning team. And the best thing you can do when you're building a high functioning team is take care of your team, which is what I witnessed at Google. And yeah, definitely didn't witness it growing up when, you know, my dad was, you know, pissing and moaning about management and not taking care of the team and workers and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that was a big thing that shaped me.
You know, it's interesting to watch how in the last, I'm going to say decade, and it could have been longer, but maybe it was before I took notice of how much founders and CEOs of companies today look at their team and place a higher value on the team than anything. Because without the team, you really have nothing, you know? But it's they have paved the way for so many good things like this. And maybe it's been, I don't know, maybe that's been around forever. I don't know. But, you know, and you watch, you know, Steve Jobs, right? I mean, wow. It, like you, but you have survived. As a matter of fact, as co-founder and CEO, you have grown ProfiWell from nothing in 2012 to $10 million last year, 2017. And you have over 8,000 companies in the business space, SaaS business space worldwide using this product. And you have done amazing things. Did or how did cancer change you as a founder and CEO?
Yeah, it really shaped me in a couple of ways. I think kind of what you were just talking about in terms of, you know, CEOs and what you should be doing or not be doing, I think it gave me this concept of one, kind of the operational, you know, you have to have a contingency plan if you get hit by the bus or you die of cancer.
Right.
So to make sure that the company keeps going. But the other big thing, kind of in the light of what you were saying there, is it really taught me a concept of servant leadership.
Servant leadership. We didn't want to blow past that. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, servant leadership. So I actually learned this in college. I was taking I was getting a minor, and it was kind of like an English leadership kind of program that I was getting while I was getting my econ degree. And what was really interesting is servant leadership is basically the concept of, you know, you are a steward of your company. You know, you have these traditional, very top-down companies that you see where, you know, the CEO is very ego-driven and yeah. It's all about them and it's all about their views. But if you really think about success in a company, it's not going to be because of the CEO. It's going to be about the actual people in the trenches doing the work.
Hold tight. I love this, man. This is good stuff. We need this kind of stuff. These are the conversations entrepreneurs, people need to have with each other. Thank you for sharing this story. Servant leadership, writing that down right now. I mean, you know what? That's really what it's about. We're going to take a little break, come back more with Patrick Campbell, co-founder and CEO, ProfitWell, ProfitWell.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And this show is all about best tips from entrepreneurs to entrepreneurs, from business people to business people, from man to man, man to woman. Just, we're helping each other. You know, at the end of the day, that's what God wants us to do. Forget about everything else. You know, we have to help each other. Otherwise, it's like we just watch each other, you know, in our misery. Patrick Campbell, I'm really enjoying the conversation with you. A certain amount of humility, I think, that every leader has to have. And unfortunately, you know, it's so ego-driven and it's so driven by, you know, we said earlier, we get obsessed about what we do. I had a publisher of a magazine one time. He called me a lunatic fringe enthusiast. And I went, lunatic fringe? That's the way we are. We get so excited about whatever the hell it is we're doing that we're almost insane by standards of the world. They're like, look at that guy go. Look how many hours he works. Look what he does. Look what he's accomplished. And it's almost, you know, kind of an insanity, but it really isn't. It's just that we are very obsessed and we're passionate. So anyway, coming back to you with your story about cancer and how you were affected by how well Google took care of you as their employee, and it affected you in an amazing way that you now, that has carried forward into the way you obviously run your business, but continue with that train of thought.
Yeah, definitely. I think, especially when you're young, and if you get sick anytime, it hits you like a ton of bricks, especially that, you know, that serious of being sick. But yeah. I think when you're really young, what ends up happening is, you know, you have the whole, hey, you know what, I'm not necessarily Superman where, you know, I'm able to fly faster than a speeding bullet or you know, leaps and bounds. But I do feel like I'm going to be here when I'm 35 or 45 or 55, right? And
right.
When you get that sick, and thankfully I wasn't, you know, I wasn't deeply sick with cancer. It was really early stage. But all of a sudden, your mindset changes so much. And you know, if you were a cocky, you know, arrogant, insecure kid out of college, kind of like I was, to be really upfront, you know, it hits you like a ton of bricks. And then you can sit there and say, okay, the world's bigger than me and the future is bigger than me. I have some mortality that's going to hit me at some point. So why don't you make some sort of an institution? And that could be, you know, a corner deli, kind of like the guest last week, or, you know, it could be a software company, but you got to imprint yourself not only in the product that you're building, the customers you affect, and ultimately the team that you have in order to, you know, properly keep things moving forward. And so that was the big lesson. And you know, kind of tactically, it turned into, hey, we're going to have a company where we're going to have really, really good health insurance, and we're going to pay for most of it or as much as we can. And we're not always able to provide everything that we want, but we at least have a list of the things that we want to open up to help the team. And I look at my job as, you know, my job is to make sure that everyone is doing really, really well. And I'm serving these folks in a way that, you know, gets the best out of them and ultimately gets the big business goals that we want.
God bless you, man. You just had an effect on me, I got to tell you. And that's how it works. We affect each other. You positively charged me today. So God bless you for that.
Yeah, let's get fired up.
Yeah, exactly. I have a note here. It says, Patrick Campbell has seen inside more subscription and SaaS companies, subscription software companies, than anyone else in the world. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. So we have the advantage where we not only have a good product because we are product obsessed, as we started talking in the beginning here, but also we actually give away the metrics for free. And there's a whole strategy of why we do that. But essentially that's allowed us to scale and get kind of proliferation across this industry. And we ended up helping, you know, subscription companies all the way from, you know, probably some big B2B companies that you might not have heard of, like Atlassian and Autodesk, who are really, really big, all the way to companies that you might have heard of, like Lyft or Medium.com and some of the other folks out there in the B2C space. So yeah, it's been a good ride, and that free kind of plan is actually really, really helped us scale, which has been great.
All right. Give me 1 minute on subscription-based companies and where they're going in this crazy world. It seems like even car companies, you can get a subscription, you know, for a car now.
Yeah, subscriptions are the future. And the reason that they're the future is because what's beautiful about the subscription is that there hasn't been a business model in the history of mankind that directly ties the relationship with your customer directly into the revenue model. So what I mean by that is, if you have a subscription car, or subscription software, or some sort of subscription product, every single month or every single term, it might be a month, might be a year, might be a quarter, you as a customer are sitting there and saying, am I getting value out of this? Do I really want to keep paying for it? And you might say no, and then you churn or cancel that particular subscription. And what's beautiful about it is it keeps businesses honest, because they have to keep serving you in a way, and this is why it's called software as a service or SaaS, but they have to keep serving you because they have to say, uh-oh, we got to keep giving value here, because if we don't keep giving value, all of a sudden what's going to happen is that customer is going to leave.
That's why you need to be customer obsessed. See, it's coming all the way back around. I get it. I love that. Software as a service. That's what SaaS stands for. Yeah, you got to pound that one into my head about 15 times. I keep saying, what is that? What does that stand for again? Yeah. All right. When we come back, you're going to be the professor. You're going to put your little bow tie on, and you're going to look real sexy in those, you know, khaki pants, and tuck your shirt in and give some advice. More, even better, more advice on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the way I keep people through the commercials. We'll be right back, everybody. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, it's interesting. Things in our lives affect us, whether it's the loss of a child, the birth of a child, loss of a parent, you know, something interesting, having cancer, beating cancer, somebody around you. While we've been talking, I got text from a friend who just had heart surgery, and he texted me, I'm out and it's all good. Things affect us. And guess what? The ripple effect of that is it affects everybody around us. And so how beating cancer changed Patrick Campbell, our guest, how it changed his life, and the ripple effect that everybody that works for him or has worked for him, their life is better because of it. Even though he had to suffer, their life is better. So I want now for you, Patrick, to put on your kind of your different ball cap of, now I'm a professor. And where do we start? I would like to start. He mentioned to me something through the commercial break. It had to do with values. I saw something about In-N-Out Burger. In my town, there's a brand new In-N-Out Burger. They make hamburgers. It's not a big deal. It's a very basic hamburger, but they shut down 37 In-N-Out Burgers in Texas because they did not like the buns. And they care more about their customer and that delightful experience that that customer was having, so much so they shut them down until they could get new buns from a new bun factory or whatever. And I thought, they stuck to their values. They did not say, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to notice. Those buns are crap. You know what I'm saying? I love that. And so, you know, give me your 1 minute on values.
So my father was in the Navy as well, and he would always talk about things like honor, country, duty. And I didn't know, like, I didn't get it. Like, I got what those meant and I got how important those were. But it was kind of one of those things when I started leading, you know, a team, it was one of those light bulb moments where I was sitting there and I was like, oh, this is what all that fluffy stuff when people talk about values or people talk about these things means and how important it is, because you're trying to move everyone in one direction. And In-N-Out Burger's got tons of stores across the country, I believe across the world as well. And you need to bind those people together and you need to bind them together in a way that actually benefits your customer and ultimately is going to benefit your business. And so you have to know what your values are, because everyone's going to be moving in one direction or another and you have to stick with them. And it's more than just a nice blog post to talk about how values are important and mission is important. It's something that's absolutely crucial.
Yeah,
again, it doesn't matter what kind of business you are, you know, quality, that can be a value of yours like it is for In-N-Out, or, hey, doing right by the customer, that can be a value of yours. And they don't have to be that complicated, but don't put them on a wall unless you're going to stick to them. That's the biggest important lesson.
All right. So because we don't have a lot of time, we talked about two other things. Pricing. Yes, very important. Very important. And every salesman knows that. But talk to your customers, you mentioned to me in the commercial break. Give me that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that we get so caught up as entrepreneurs and business folks in, oh, I got to ship that product. Oh, I got to, you know, do the books. Oh, I got to talk to my lawyer. I got to do all these different things to keep the business moving. But we forget that, again, that person that you're serving ultimately not only is your team, but also your customer. And so if you have problems in your business, the first thing that you should do is go talk to that customer. And even if you don't have problems and you're trying to optimize your business, you have to talk to them. And there's a lot of ways you can do this. Look up something called customer development or just customer research. But ultimately, if you're trying to figure out pricing, product, what's wrong, what's right, all these different things, they're the only ones who are going to be able to tell you. And unfortunately, what we find is that most businesses aren't talking to their customers. And instead, they're just kind of guessing and checking their way to success, which wastes so much time and increases your probability of failure.
Well, you want to know how In-N-Out Burger talked to me the other day? My wife wanted to go to lunch. She says, where do you want to go? I know that she does not like burgers. She hasn't probably eaten a burger in 10 years. And I did a show called Business and Burgers. I love burgers. But that brand, In-N-Out Burger, they talked to me through their actions. They let me know that through shutting down 37 stores just until they got new buns, that they care so much about their product that ultimately they care about me. So I said, I want to go to In-N-Out Burger today. I want to support them because they stuck to their values and they care about their customers in the same way. So that's how my reaction was to what they did. Patrick Campbell, you rock, dude. We're going to have you on again. Let's keep doing more of this, okay?
Let's do it. Let's go get some burgers.
There you go. I'm going to have you on Business and Burgers. We'll go to In-N-Out Burger. Profitwell.com is the website. Profitwell, Patrick Campbell. Thank you for this sage advice. You are a true mentor. Thank you for was it your grandfather or your father that was in the service?
It was my father.
Father, thank you for his service. And if he's still alive, please tell him how important and how we know how important his service was and is. This country is a great country, and we need to make sure that we love it and support all those that have given their time and life and everything else. You know, I don't want to get sappy here, Patrick, okay?
He's still alive, so I'll let him know.
All right, that's excellent. That's it for me this hour. That's Patrick Campbell. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.